This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This rebellion failed and the British took their full revenge. The East India Company, they went on a massacring spree. They started killing, especially, specifically Muslim scholars. They targeted Muslim scholars. It is said that there was not a tree from Delhi to Peshawar on which a Muslim scholar was not hanging. One of them, for example, is William Muir. William Muir was a very important figure in British India, the mid-19th century. Why is he important? Does anyone know who he is? William Muir. He was one of the Orientalists who wrote an entire biography of the Prophet in 4 volumes. He wrote a biography of Rasulullah in 4 volumes, right? Then he wrote other histories of the Muslims, like the history of caliphs, for example. And he was a Christian missionary. The peak of all of this took place in 1854 when a Christian missionary named Fander, a German Christian missionary, was preaching in the streets of Agra. Agra was the Muslim capital in northern India. He was preaching openly against Islam, challenging Muslim scholars. You know, your faith is a lie. It's all this, it's all that. He wrote even a book in the Urdu language called Mizanul Haq, challenging Muslim scholars. Muslim scholars at the time in India were not trained to deal with Christian polemics. They had no idea how to deal with this, right? Okay, so while Fander is going around doing, causing these problems, backed by the government, no one can dare touch him. You know why? Because the British government is behind him directly. So the missionaries were sent into India, all over India, trying to convert the Indians. But these missionaries wrote specifically that Hindus, some of them from the lower classes, lower castes, they may convert. But the Muslims, forget it. There's no chance. They're not leaving the faith under any circumstances. So that's why they became more hostile towards the Muslims, the missionaries, right? And they always cause problems, as you know, probably even social media today nowadays, you can see what these missionaries are made of. Right? A bunch of liars, dajjals, okay, manipulators, all sorts of things, right? So they were no different then in the 19th century. So this guy called Fander, German missionary, he started causing problems. But Allah, when there is a Fir'aun or when there's a Shaitan, there is also people working for Ar-Rahman, right? So when a Shaitan like this is going around, there was a man called Wazir Khan. He went from India, he came from India to Britain to study medicine. To study medicine, right? So while he's studying medicine here, he starts collecting books on Christianity. He starts reading commentaries on the Bible. When he's reading commentaries on the Bible, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't know how Allah's people work, how Allah produces remedies. When there's a disease, Allah is also at the same time creating a remedy. So Wazir Khan, out of the blue, he comes here to study medicine, right? And he starts studying Christian theological commentaries. And then he gets exposed to all these catastrophes and disasters for the Christians, right? All the corruption of the Bible and, you know, the changes in the Bible and all the theological issues that came up. And Christians themselves were writing books to highlight these things. So he brought all these books back to India with him. So he met a scholar called Sheikh Rahmatullah Kheranawi. And he went to the Sheikh and he said, Sheikh, this shaitan is challenging Muslims. Why don't we debate him? The Sheikh said, I don't know anything about Christianity. He said, I know about Christianity. You know about Sharia. You are a scholar of Islam. I can deal with him on Christianity. Let's deal with him. So they challenge him. Long story short, there's a big debate and the British colonial establishment is very confident. All the judges, administrators, police, IGs, you know, inspector generals and people like William Muir are present. They are like, we're going to watch Muslims getting devastated today in this debate. Yeah, they're going to be destroyed by this. Because he was very good. That guy, Fander, was very good. He couldn't find his match. So he was also very excited. But he had no idea that the pile of books they had brought with them, they're going to pull the rug from his feet. This is going to get blown away. So debate starts. And Wazir Khan and Sheikh Rahmatullah, they start to ask him questions about the Bible. Hey, hold on a second. You're attacking the Quran, no problem. We're going to use the same standard on you. So what about this? And Finder had no responses. Completely dumbstruck. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ Allahu Akbar. Right? And then that's it. Those administrators, judges, all those British officials, you know, they were completely blown away. They said, what happened there? And it became a huge, it became a cause of celebration for all the Muslims throughout India. The Muslims really pushed it in the newspapers. Everywhere Muslims celebrated that this debate was a disaster for them. And it was published. And a lot of scholars have even written on that debate today. So 3 years later, Indian mutiny happens. This boiled, you know, things like this. They boiled the blood of the people, and the British introduced new cartilages. You know, when back in the day, when they used to use guns, they used to use these matchlocks. There was a packet for gunpowder. They would put gunpowder in the muzzle, and they would put the ball on top, and they would press it hard. I don't know if you've seen it, right? In some of those old movies, right? So they used to use those rifles, those guns. So they gave them cartilages. So to Hindus, they gave cartilages with cow fat. To Muslims, they gave cartilages with pig fat. So the Muslims realized what's happening. The Hindus realized. So the Brahmins, those soldiers who were in the British military at the time, and the Muslims, they both rebelled. It started in a place called Meerut in India, the rebellion. And the rebellion escalated to a level where all of India, nearly all of North India was taken in it, right? And the British East India Company, they found themselves in a very, very difficult situation. A very difficult situation. Okay? And then this rebellion spread all over. I mean, my own ancestors, my great-grandfather's grandfather was part of this rebellion in a region called Abtabad in Pakistan. Okay? He led a tribe himself, Rahmatullah Alayh, and he was captured later on in 1859, and he was put on trial. And 7 years he was put under house arrest in chains. He was sentenced to exile. For 7 years, rahmatullahi alayhi. So all of this was happening in India at the time, and the British, they were completely shaken by this experience. Unfortunately, the rebellion did not succeed because it was not noble. These rebels were committing a lot of atrocities. Many scholars of Islam opposed what they were doing, right? They were actually killing women and children, right? There are examples like one of the scholars in Delhi, Sheikh Sayyid Nazir Hussain al-Dehlavi, one of the Ahlul Hadith scholars from Delhi, he found an English woman in a bush, injured, crying, moaning due to pain. She was shot and she had some injuries, and he picked her up. She couldn't speak the language. The Sheikh couldn't speak her language. The Sheikh had his students. They picked her up. The Sheikh took her to his house, kept her for 3 to 4 months under hiding. And if the rebels would have found out, Muslims and Hindus, that the Sheikh is hiding an English woman, the Sheikh would have been killed with his family. Sayyid Nazir Hussain al-Dehlavi, a very big name, a very big scholar in the school of Ahlul Hadith. In fact, some unfortunate people use this example to taunt him, to use it against him. That how can you, astaghfirullah, what would you do in a situation like that? This is exactly what the Sheikh was teaching these people, that this, what you're doing is not jihad fi sabilillah. You're killing women and children. Now, my own research when I did on that woman, because the woman's name was Mrs. Neeson. Mrs. Neeson. I found the name in the Sheikh's biography. I went and did some of my own research on that woman. I found records that 3 of her children were shot dead in front of her eyes. What she told later on. Okay? One of the children was in her arms when the child was shot. It was an infant shot. And the bullet went through the child and hit the mother as well. She couldn't tell all of this to the Sheikh. The Sheikh doesn't mention this in his biography, right? This comes from the British records, what I found on that woman. SubhanAllah. So these are the kind of atrocities these rebels were committing. Not all of them, of course. There were some noble people outside of the Delhi area and the central Indian region. But this failed. This rebellion failed, and the British took their full revenge. The East India Company, they went on a massacring spree. They started killing, especially, specifically Muslim scholars. They targeted Muslim scholars. It is said that there was not a tree from Delhi to Peshawar on which a Muslim scholar was not hanging. Okay? They blew people from guns. They tied people to the muzzle of the cannon and they blew them to make them an example. And then Queen Victoria, who was the ruling monarch at the time, she intervened personally when she heard about the atrocities, and she had to stop all the atrocities. And it took 2 years for the British to subdue the entire rebellion. Okay, and since then, from that point onwards, Queen Victoria took full charge of India. She became the Empress of India, and East India Company was removed from the picture entirely. So India became a British property.